There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
If you wanna feel warm inside, there's a place you can go. It's funny all the time. Robotic guys, super nice. L.I.L. London Info Live.
Saying everybody, hello, welcome to the Lil Show with me, your host, Talal Karkouti, Talalaban Karkoutables, T-Dog, T-Biz. I'm not going to spell that for you. On the way here, I'm so excited. I had a brand new experience, something I've never experienced before, and I always love it when that happens. And it was literally a stone's throw away from this studio. When I say stone's throw, I mean it normally. When people say stone's throw, they don't mean stone's throw. They're talking about France or Scotland or some shit. I mean a stone's throw. Like, I could throw a stone and it would hit the place where I was. It was a van, like a big van. With the back open, with a bunch of junk in the back. Yeah, there was like a settee, some phone cases, which is what caught my eye, some tables, chairs, carpets, clothes, all sorts of random junk in a dilapidated state, most of it. And I went out there, I was like, oh, what's going on here, boys? Because the phone covers caught my eye. Is this rubbish? Are you guys collecting rubbish? And they're like, you want to buy a settee, mate? He said, hey, do you want to buy a settee, mate? I was like, no, man, I don't live around here. I can't be carrying a settee around. He goes, all right. I was like, okay. No, but those phone covers caught my eye. He goes, oh, yeah, I got boxes of them. He starts pulling these boxes out from behind him. I'm like, no, I just want to have a look at that one there. I was looking at it. It was covered in grime and stuff. I gave it a little wipe now. But I was like, yeah, I'll have this. You know, why not? Could be useful. And he goes, all right, give us some in then. I was like, oh, I'm like digging through my pockets. I chucked a pound. I was like, here's a pound for your troubles, mate. I literally said, for your troubles. It's such an old-timey English interaction. It was brilliant. Chucked him, flicked a pound coin at him. He caught it perfectly, went right in his pocket, walked away with a nice new purple phone case, which I've yet to open. And I just brought a tear to my eye because I've never bought something out the back of a van before. I know they're all like stolen or not necessarily in this case, maybe what's it called, repurposed, reclaimed, yes. Junk.
Found, inherited.
Yeah. Some of it might go to a scrap.
Upcycled.
Heap. Upcycled. But you know, I've always heard
very
that.
Very fetching colour as
in
well.
Thank you. I've always heard it in the pubs. You know? Oh, I found this at the back of, this fell out the back of a
it's
van.
It's like a real life proverb. It actually happened. That is amazing.
Really good fun.
Yeah.
That voice we hear is the voice of Alison Kent. Welcome to the
Hello.
Show.
Hi.
First time guest.
Yes.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. And to your left, Jodie Ann Richardson.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello. It's very good nice to be here.
Very nice to have you. It's the first time you've been on the show, both of you.
Yeah.
And it's actually the first time I've met either of you.
Yes.
So I believe a polite thing to do right now is to offer you a drink. How about that?
Oh, thank you.
What have I got? I've got a bag full of drinks here.
I'm a bit parched. I've been outside throwing stones and it just, you know, tires
it
you
does,
out a
works
bit.
Up a thirst. There's a big bottle of Diet Coke here.
Nice.
As requested by Alison Kent. But I brought some peripherals with it. Here we go. What have we got?
Ooh. Okay.
Got a can of beer.
Oh.
Another can of beer.
They're very shiny.
They are.
I don't know which one to pull out next.
Ooh.
A box, a bag.
Drum roll.
Of Dreamies for cats. Cat snacks. Dreamies,
wow.
Cat snacks.
I'm vegetarian, so. But
that's right, we need to smash through walls to eat those.
Look at this. I've never seen this before. What? Diet Coke Exotic Mango.
I'm always up for trying it.
Has anyone ever seen this before?
No.
Now, I'm a big fan of Cherry Coke, Lemon Coke, Vanilla Coke.
I like the Ginger Coke.
Ginger Coke, I've never tried.
There's a ginger one. Oh, no, it's Pepsi.
Okay.
Oh, other varieties are available.
That sounds disgusting. Yeah. I think somebody needs to try that.
Yeah, I will.
It sounds awful.
Well, I'm really excited. Yeah,
me too, man. I can't wait to try this. So go ahead, Jodan. You can have the first taste. Well, I shall pour out little samples.
Pour it into a lovely...
Alison, will you join us?
Okay.
Just a sample.
Beautifully decorated champagne flute, yeah?
Yep.
Yes.
Grab yourself a cup.
Wonder
there you go.
Hold it on the breasts of Napoleon's
little
lover.
Little show cup.
Oh, these are amazing.
Right. Okay.
All right, cheers. Cheers, all. Mango. Ooh, cheers. Exotic mango Diet Coke.
Interesting aroma.
It smells like Five Alive.
I remember Five Alive with the stickers.
Yeah,
I used to love
the purple
stickers.
One was... But, ooh. Mm. No, that's... no.
Yes, please. Yes, please. You can taste the corn syrup.
Yeah.
Really thick. And...
just what you want in a drink. Brilliant.
Mm. I think it's quite nice.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that.
I quite like that. I wouldn't want to necessarily drink a whole big litre bottle.
Well, do you
want to
go halves on the rest of this with me, Jodianne?
I'm good.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
What if I were to tell you that you have the opportunity to mix it with some Appleton's white rum?
I think I could be a goer on that one.
Yeah, has that turned you? Has that brought you over, Jodianne?
It's true. Actually, I think this is a good mixer drink. I think that you hit the nail on the head. I think, it
Let's
needs something added to it.
Tropical on this shit. Here we go.
Yeah, I like that idea.
There's a bit of rum for you.
Yeah.
Bit of rum for me.
Oh, I love the cocktail umbrella. That's a beautiful addition.
You're
thank
welcome.
You.
Are you Alison, tempted anymore?
I am, but I'm driving, so thank you.
Well, good.
More
for us, Jodianne.
That's loaded. Thank you very much.
There we go.
Oh, that's quite exciting.
You're nicely refreshed?
Yep. Just going to lie back in my hammock. It's all good.
All right, excellent.
In Kilburn.
Yeah.
Lovely.
There we go. Happy to provide. So please help yourselves to any of the refreshments on this
your
table.
Aroma has changed.
Would you like me to fill your cup with Diet Coke?
No, I'm all right for a minute. Thank you. I don't want to mix them. Don't want to mix my drinks, but thank you.
You are driving after all. All right, that's everything in my bag, guys.
Oh, yay.
Okay.
Nice.
Set the fluff in the corners when you turn it inside out.
Yeah. Little bits of white paper.
Always onion skins in my bag.
All right, so it's time for a little segment I like to call Stretch and Share, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm going to have to get out of my hammock for this one, aren't I?
You know what? You can do it from the hammock.
Okay, thank you.
This is the time where our minds come together and our bodies become supple and relaxed. We each take turns initiating a stretch, which the rest of the room will copy, and the initiator will share something with us, with the room, with Dr. Listening at home. It can be an opinion, something that happened to you today, something you read in the paper, something you've just bought, something you like, something you hate. Just share anything, whatever's in your soul, send it up to the tip of your tongue and let it spill henceforth and make the world a brighter place and make you a lighter, happier person. Who would care to be our first stretch and sharer? Okay, I'll do it. All right, let's start with the upper body.
Okay.
Our arms are going to rise up. Our hands will meet at the top. And we'll use that tension, that friction, to stretch our shoulders and arms. Do that for 5 seconds, relax and repeat. And I want to share with you an app idea I came up with. I can't remember if I've said this on the show yet. But it's called the Catful app. And it's spelt CATFL app. And if you put that together, what does it say? Cat flap. And basically, it's for homes that have a cat but don't have a cat flap. And it's a cat flap app. And you press a button on that app, and everyone in the house's app tells them that the cat is out, or the cat has come in, or the cat is out, or the cat has come in. And you can also press another button to say that you fed the cat. So it keeps a tally of how many feedings the cat has had a day. And that way, if you live with people in a house share or a family and your schedules don't always come together and you don't see each other, or I come home drunk in the middle of the night and I want to know if the cat is out or in, I can just check the app. The cat's been fed 3 times and he's outside.
That's amazing.
You can have a little pad on next to the cat where the cat can push on itself.
That's the next level.
When it wants to talk to you, the cat pushes on it.
That's the in-app payment. You pay for this little device.
And you have a cat pad.
But you know, they would just try and destroy it because they would not want you to keep track of what they're eating.
Anyway, that's the cat flap. That's a good point.
Yeah, they really are greedy bastards.
And that's my stretch and share. Any developers out there who want to work with me on that, just get in touch. And breathe.
Definitely a good idea.
Next.
Okay. I'm going to put my... I can't even describe this one. It's like my elbows across my...
chest?
Yes, there you go. That's the word. And pull that. I went to the park today. I went for a walk near my house because I've just moved there and found a huge, great big park nearby that had one of those open gyms, those free gyms. So that was really nice.
Oh, and outdoors?
Outdoor gym, wow, yeah. And there was a lady on it that wasn't... I like them because people don't wear gym clothes. You just see people in completely normal clothing. And she literally had like a box of stuff behind her, and then she was on this treadmill in jeans and a sweatshirt. So yeah, it was very nice. Wow.
Had lovely. They been vandalized yet?
No, they haven't. I know. Right. It's amazing, right? Yeah.
Were you encouraged to go on them?
I did go on them, and me and my friend went on like a couple of teenagers on swings and had a go at all of them and tried to figure out what they do. I did go on one of them back to front. Took me a while to work out how to work it, but yeah, it was very good. It was lovely.
Oh, thank you, Alison.
Okay, I'm going to work on our rib isolation. There you go.
Oh.
So you've got to try and isolate your ribs and move them from side to side.
Doing like a Shakira move.
Whilst
there.
Keeping your hips still, yeah.
Hips just don't lie.
Getting those obliques all nice and warmed
up. Lucky that
my
breasts are small and humble.
Yeah. And I will share that my morning ritual at the moment, because I'm a bit of an indoor gardener in my tiny little inner city flat. And I've got a potting table where I've got lots of little pots. And every morning I come out and look at my pots to see what's come up to start growing. And this morning my celery had started popping up. So I was very happy about that. But another one of my okras has died because I just don't seem to be able to keep okras alive. They grow up and then they go, well, I don't want to be here.
Do you pick and eat them?
Yeah, I grow lots of tomatoes and cucumbers. And
the okra?
I've not managed to get an okra to grow past like a couple of inches. Oh. And it looks really happy and healthy. And then I get up in the morning and it's not there anymore.
They're also called ladies' fingers.
Yeah. They are, but my fingers don't look like that.
No.
They're much more stubby, mine.
That's a very old-fashioned name.
Yeah.
When, you know, big fingernails were mandatory. For a lady, for a dignified lady. Otherwise, you had to wear those. If you didn't have long fingernails, you have to wear a long white glove up to your elbow.
I've got a lovely set of kit leather opera gloves that belong to my great-grandmother, actually. So I inherited all her gloves.
Oh, wow.
Can't get my hand into them because her hands are tiny.
Oh,
tiny.
Maybe I could try them.
Yeah, they probably fit cool. Donald Trump, you know, because they're really delicately small gloves.
Thank you for sharing, Jodi-Ann.
You're very welcome.
I love okra. My mum makes a great okra dish. It's a Syrian dish. Bamya, we call it.
Oh, nice.
I had an okra and mango dish the other day. An okra mango curry.
I hear Coke are going to bring out an okra-flavoured one too.
Yeah. Okra and mango Diet Coke. And that was a stretch and share.
Ah, I feel warm and loose.
I think that's the rum.
It's the palm trees swaying above my hammock. It's all lovely.
Isn't that music lovely?
I was just, I thought that was you making it yourself when it started. I was like,
playing
that's
it on
amazing.
A keyboard.
He can, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it certainly wasn't. All right, let's move swiftly on to our next segment. A little something I like to call Newsish. And it's time for Newsish, the portion of the show where we read a news story from the week and we talk about that news story from the week and then we do some improvised scenes based on the conversation we had based on that news story from the week. And this week, I'm not using the Mirror Weird News. I'm not using an app. I'm using a metro.
Ooh.
I'm really sorry. I apologise in advance, okay?
Budget cuts are hitting us all.
This is amazing. My dad has a big sideline in writing into the metro on his way into work. So if you see anything in there, yeah, Martin from Harrow, that's my dad.
Wow!
Does he get published quite often?
He does get published quite often.
Martin from Harrow?
Yep, and he got a reply a few weeks ago as well. You know, one of those Martin from Harrow says, but I think...
Used to be quite difficult to get your letters into the editor in when it was the old broadsheet style.
I think he just kind of...
I think less people do it more than ever now.
He texts it in on the tube on the way in the morning. So, yeah.
Let's see, he's in here today.
Oh.
Let's see.
Is that just expressing his outrage generally?
Yeah, but sometimes they're just
opinions.
Really amusing. They're all generally they're quite funny to read anyway.
Martin from Harrow. My God, dear editor, my daughter keeps telling people about me writing into you, so I kindly request that you stop using my name and let me use my new pseudonym. Mr. Pantsface. I picked this name because I often sit around the house with my pants on my face as to not be recognised by passersby through the window. However, my daughter incessantly telling people about my habits is keeping my identity secret more and more difficult. Thank you very much, Martin from Harrow.
Amazing.
Like a superhero disguise, yeah. Thing, isn't it?
Amazing.
So, let's see. I've got three news stories in here that piqued my interest. Some of them I like more than others. However, I like to keep things random here, so I'm going to give you three headlines that I made up before I read you the actual headline.
Don't we have to guess which one's the real news and which is the...
No.
Oh.
See, we live in times where anything is possible. Yeah. I don't think we can even do that game anymore.
Where is it? Oh, no, where is it?
Ooh.
Okay, don't worry.
Editing. Stuck in with the ads there.
Editing is pretty amazing. I can edit all the faffy bits out. But I do need to find this third story. Sorry, do excuse me.
So you've already
found it. I got it. All right, okay.
Oh, God, it's a bit exciting then.
There is no Sue in sumo. Prince of Potties or No More Mr. Knife Eye.
Ooh.
No More Mr. Knife Eye, Prince of Potties, or There Is No Sue in Sumo.
I like the way that...
Sue in Sumo, I quite like.
Well, okay.
Good, that was my favourite one. Okay, There Is No Sue in Sumo. Don't worry, we're going to get to do more than one. Okay?
Okay.
Let's rule these out. Yeah, should we do the sumo one?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, There Is No Sue in Sumo. Women first aiders told to get out a sumo ring. Four women who rushed to help a mayor who collapsed in a sumo wrestling ring were ordered to get out by officials.
Were they all called Sue? Is this where they're going?
No. I was just making a joke with that. Because the joke there is that there is the word Sue in sumo. These puns took me a long time to work on. I'm glad you're laughing. In sumo's tradition, the ring is considered sacred, and therefore women are prohibited from entering. That posed a problem on Wednesday when the mayor of Meizuru in the south of Japan collapsed during a speech. Two women, apparently medical experts, rushed in and started performing first aid. When two more women rose to the ring, repeated announcements demanded they get out. Footage posted on social media triggered outrage. Many saying sumo officials were choosing tradition over life. Sumo chief Nobuyoshi Hakaku called the announcements... the sumo chief called the announcements inappropriate and apologised. At least that's nice that he did that. I'm glad he did that. It would have been bloody annoying if he'd stood by it and goes, sumo is an ancient tradition that carries many... the weight of our nation's culture on its shoulders.
I guess the mayor wouldn't have been able to do anything about it because he couldn't sue them for it because there is no sue in...
Yeah.
Okay.
Wah, wah, wah.
Pass that one.
So, thoughts of that? Tradition?
Well, I think they have a thing with the ring where they have a blessing ceremony over it and everything, don't they? Because the Shinto priest comes and does some kind of ritual to make the ring sacred.
Wow.
And
really? Wow.
For the sumo-type people to go into.
Did you used to live in Japan?
I have been to Japan. Okay. I was spent a week and a half in Japan and I've never eaten so much fish in my life.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, I know it's lovely. You think that, it'd be amazing. It would be amazing. But by the end, I really didn't want to. I couldn't face it by the end of it.
I spent 3 weeks in Japan.
Yeah.
And I went to a diner, like a classic Japanese diner. And the menu was just all pictures. So I pointed at what I thought was chicken nuggets, yeah, because we had eaten a lot of fish, yeah. So I was like, okay, some chicken nuggets. That looks familiar. I didn't recognize anything else on the menu. I was like, I'll point at the chicken nuggets. And we got a bowl of these nuggets. They came. They were like little popcorn nuggets. But I took a bite and went, crack. And it was all chicken gristle. It was just battered cartilage.
Okay.
So we ended up just sucking the batter off and asking for an empty bowl to spit the cartilage into.
So were chicken nuggets.
But after that, I went back to fish quite happily and stuck with the fish.
And a lot of weed. Well, seaweed, pondweed. Yeah. When I first came over to this side of the globe and I went to Paris and I wasn't used to eating Parisian food and I spent 4 days in Paris and by the end of it, my digestive tract revolted and said, we're not eating any more of this because you can't get green vegetables. Well, you couldn't back then. Green vegetables. And I didn't speak any French and I just was having far too much dairy and I was really ill. And so when I came to the UK and I went and visited my second cousins twice removed who lived in Mortlake, and she brought out this bowl of Savoy cabbage cooked English style, boiled to buggery. And I was like, and I chowed down on it. And it was wonderful because I hadn't had any green vegetables and I just ate. Oh, it was so fabulous. And then I went off backpacking around the UK doing what I do and feeding myself normally and back to my normal diet. And I went to visit them before I got back on the plane to leave. And she said, I remember how much you liked it. I made extra portions. And she put this bowl of cabbage in front of me and I took one mouthful and it was hideous.
Oh.
But the thing was, I'd been so starved for vegetables before that just tasted amazing. But I still ate it all. And I have come to appreciate English cooking of cabbage since. It's just, why do you do that to vegetables?
Why do you do that to vegetables? Mum, why do you do that to the vegetables?
They can't feel anything. It's all right. Don't worry about it.
No, Mum, it's mean. It's really mean. No,
it's fine. Potatoes don't literally have eyes. It's all right. It's just a saying.
I can't. Mummy, they see it from now on. I'm not eating vegetables anymore.
Oh.
I'm going to be a meatarian.
Oh, well, it'll just be those chicken nuggets. You didn't like those the last time either.
Yeah, that's because you swapped out the chicken for mushy peas.
Well,
why would you do that to peas?
Mushy peas are really, really tasty. Look at the colour. It's lovely. How could you not want to eat something that colourful of green? It's lovely. All right. A meatarian. Fine. Nothing but sausages. All day. Thanks. Every day. Sausages.
Thanks, Mum.
All right. That's what you want. Fine.
And he goes through his life eating sausages. Nothing but sausages. Until one day, he's an adult now and he works at a bank and he has a very thrilling opportunity. He gets invited to dinner with the CEO of his bank. And they get invited to a fancy Japanese sushi restaurant. Thanks for inviting me here, Mr. Mickles.
That's all right. I just wanted to reward you for all the hard work you've been putting in over the years. You are the most amazing employee. Our sales are way up. It's just brilliant. So I thought I'd bring you here and let you try the blowfish. Now, this is a delicacy. It costs lots of money. I've gone and spent my entire annual bonus just on this for you.
Oh, you've already ordered it?
Oh, yeah. It takes preparation. We've got to fly it in from Osaka.
Well, I'm really flattered. But it's...
And once you've had the blowfish, you'll be ready for your promotion.
Look, there's something... Come on, Kevin. Keep it together, Kevin.
Ah, just here comes the waitress now. Bring it over. Place it here for us.
Here is a special blowfish. We've had it. It's been here in the kitchen. We've been preparing it for the last 5 hours, especially for you. Its eyes are glistening specially, and we've shined up the scales for you and everything. Please enjoy.
Thank you. Listen, boss, I can't do this.
What?
There's something you need to know. Look, if we're going to work together more in the future, I've got to tell you... I haven't eaten anything except for sausages since I was 6 years old.
No.
Yeah.
No, but we're a kebab company.
I know, but I've used my...
You don't eat our products.
I've used my knowledge of meat preparation to kind of get by, And haven't I done well with the kebab bank?
But this is false advertising. What are you telling our customers when you go out there? This is our. We can't let this get out. Our stocks will fall. Our shares will fall.
Surely this should make me look good in your eyes. Because even not being truly a passionate fan of our product, I still managed to make the best sales this year.
The way you say that, you could be ready for the executive suite.
Yeah, and I've done that without even having tasted a kebab my whole life.
Well, that's good. I don't eat them either.
You don't?
No, I don't know what goes in them. Yeah.
So what made you start this kebank?
Well,
it's the kebab bank of Westminster.
I thought, you know, people needed to deposit everything they had into there, and then it's all their leftovers, really. I've been making millions out of it, millions and millions and millions. But now the blowfish is sitting here. It's just festering on the plate. Go on. It's like one piece each and then we never have to eat it again.
You seriously don't eat kebabs either?
I'm a vegetarian, mate.
What? You're such an inspiration.
I only eat mushrooms.
Their forks go towards the blowfish as the forks pierce either end of the blowfish. A little fizzle as the air escapes the fish and it shrivels down. And as it shrivels, it kind of curls up and kind of resembles a sausage in a way. And the CEO looks at it and...
Can't eat that. I'm a vegetarian. You have to do it. Go on, take one for the team.
Cut to montage, sales, loads of clients. He's meeting the Prince of Brunei, the President of the United States, the Chief.
He takes over the company.
Wolf of Wall Street montage.
And he comes back home visiting his mother, his dear mother, one day.
Oh, hello. How are you doing?
Hey, Mum. I'm very well. You look great.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, it is all those vegetables. I did tell you, they do make your life longer.
Yeah, you're 113 now.
I know, exactly. And I don't look a day over 92.
It's really amazing, Mum.
Yeah, well.
But look, I want to thank you.
Oh.
Because that day when you let me switch my whole lifestyle, my whole diet to 100% sausage.
Yes.
It may have been detrimental to my health. Well, my social ability.
You did, yes.
My studies. I kept dropping the pens because of all the grease.
Yeah, you did. And you did smell a bit porky.
All the time.
Yeah.
Pork sweats.
Yep.
That's what Dad used to call me.
Yeah.
However, Mum, it's given me skills that are invaluable in the kebab banking industry.
Oh, I'm so thrilled
to hear
that. No.
Look out the window, Mum.
Oh.
Ferrari.
Oh, my God.
It's yours, Mum.
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's all yours. You deserve it.
Oh, gosh.
And guess what?
What?
This old people's home?
Yeah.
You own it now.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't thank you enough.
I can't thank you enough, Mum. He starts kissing her feet. Thank you, Mama. I love you.
Oh, I love you too, son.
I love you. And then he starts to like dissipate and he kind of fizzles away into nothing. And then we see the old lady kind of just talking to herself, rocking back and forth, sucking on a cabbage.
It's so lonely now everyone else has died.
She's outlived everyone.
The power of vegetables.
The power of vegetables will see you through.
They will. It will.
And it zooms out and zooms out. And you see that she's like sitting in a throne room and of the old people's home has been made into a castle. And the rest of the city is all like dystopian future. And it's all burnt out and rubbish rolling around the streets. And there's slaves around her feeding her peeled grapes and cabbage.
And mushy peas.
And scene. All right, next news story. Prince of Potties or no more Mr. Knife Eye?
No more Mr. Knife Eye because it's such a terrible, terrible pun. I can't. I'm like, it's something about either James Bond or somebody being nice, but they're not nice, or they've got a knife, or they've got a knife.
I think it's
no
better than the pun they've given us. That's their headline.
That's amazing.
The L-Eagle loophole.
Wow.
Eagle. It's okay to kill a fox with this made me angry. With a knife in the eye after it's been caught by a bird of prey.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Says who?
Says
the fox
twat.
Had to be mortally wounded by the bird of prey and you are rescuing it and depriving the bird of prey of its dinner.
Essentially.
I get that you're trying to maybe help put it out of its misery, but the specificity of the knife in the eye is what makes
it
seem a bit grim.
Is the bird of prey a tame one that he has that he is hunting foxes with?
Shall I read the story?
Well, yes, we're jumping ahead here.
Yes.
A falconer has been cleared of breaching hunting laws because he catches foxes using a golden eagle, not a pack of dogs. And then it gets really confusing, by the way, this article. John Meese, 45, was present at a hunt where a fox was killed by hounds, but a judge ruled it was clear he had no control over the animals. However, his co-defendant, George Adams, 66, was convicted of using a pack of hounds to hunt and kill a fox on January 1st, 2016. Mr. Meese, the falcon guy, was further cleared of causing unnecessary cruelty to an animal in November 2013. So this is a separate case. He dispatched a fox by driving a knife through its eye after it was caught by his golden eagle. The law banning hunting with hounds permits dogs to flush out the fox so it can then be caught by a bird of prey. Mr. Meese denied hunting for sport and added, "Not at all. I'm employed as a pest controller. I respect all animals. I don't get pleasure in dispatching the fox." But the picture of him, he looks pretty happy with himself.
Yeah.
There is no nice death. This is just how it goes. Video footage by hunt saboteur Stephen Milton of 2016 Hunt and Field near Wansford, Cambridgeshire, was played to Peterborough Magistrates Court. The fox was killed by the 40-strong pack of hounds. Disgusting. Mr. Meese told the court there was no chance for him to release his golden eagle before the saboteurs were in the field. It just gets confusing. So there's a case and different case. They just wanted an excuse to make a bad pun, I think.
Yeah.
But apparently it's completely legal to allow an eagle to catch a fox.
I was about to say, how desperate is he to get a fox that he has to go out and get a bald eagle first to be able to flush
golden
it out?
Eagle.
A golden eagle, sorry. To then be able to do it.
Terry, put your mask over your face. We don't want the people in the aviary seeing us. Come on, put the mask over your face. We're going to go in, get ourselves a couple of eagle chicks, all right?
Oh, but this is my first break in. Milton, I'm not sure if I can...
Oh, Terry, you can do it, you can do it. Sure? Trust me. Let's just put the mask over your face.
Okay, this is what we train for, after all. Right.
I'm going to cut the barbed wire. You ready?
Twing, 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 twing.
Oh, I think that hole's big enough. One more. Twing. There we go.
I'll slip through. Hold the bag open.
All right, in through you go. Through you go. Tweet. All those birds all around the place.
Catch him in the bag.
Shh, where's the spotlight? Hold still. Stand still. Yeah, I think we got it. Right, got a bag full of birds. Got your bag. Get back under the fence. Get back under the fence. Come on. Get him in the back of the van. In the back of the van.
The next day. Oh, nice van. Oh, what's he got in the back? What have you got in the back of that van?
Oh, I'm looking for a phone case. You got any phone cases in the back of
the
van?
Yeah, you got any phone cases, mate? We want a phone case.
I've got an egg-shaped phone case. Quite a large egg-shaped one. Might have a bit of an egg. Go on. Here, take it. Go.
Oh, nice one. I'll take that. Scam.
Tweet. Terry, you found the eagle chicks yet? Which ones are the eagles? Which ones are... penguins in here for?
Oh, yeah. These penguins, they're bespoke. Oh. They're for people who like to hunt worms.
Penguins for the wormers.
Yeah, they're greater pecking.
Oh, well, I thought that was what the woodpecker was for.
They're not selling very well.
You know, I'm going to sell the woodpecker to the carpenter.
Good evening. I'm a big fan of killing and maiming harmless animals.
Oh, have I got a deal for you? I have.
My dogs are now completely useless. I can't do anything with them. Look at this pathetic animal. He's been stripped of his dignity by this so-called government, not allowed to do his godly duty of dispatching of disgusting foxes. So have you got a interesting alternative for me?
I haven't. And looking at you, sir, you've got nice, strong shoulders. The strong shoulders, I can't really see them under all the tweed. That's a lot of tweed you're wearing.
I've left the coat hanger in my jacket.
What I've got for you here is a little golden eagle chick. Ooh. Little golden eagle chick. You bring it up, it'll hunt for you, sir. I guarantee it.
Is that legal?
Well, it's not illegal. It's a golden eagle.
I see what you did there.
So,
well, that's fantastic.
And I'll tell you what, sir. You take the eagle, I'll take your dogs in exchange.
Yes, there's no need for money to exchange hands.
No, I'll just take all 40 of your hounds. Come on, you lot. Get in the back of the van. Get them in.
Later on that night.
Milton, what are you going to do with all these dogs? What have you done with all these? Why have you got all these dogs?
No, it's genius.
They're not allowed to hunt foxes anymore. What are we going to do with them?
Well, we're going
to
go and catch rats.
Catch rats?
Yeah, going to go and catch rats with them all.
Rat hunting?
Yeah. I mean, these dogs are really savvy. They're really smart. They are like the next best thing. And they're environmentally friendly.
Let me just check things.illegal.gov. Rat hunting. Rat hunting's legal.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be millionaires.
We are, and we get those toffee boys up there on their bicycles chasing after the dogs, chasing after the rats. We're going to make millions on this. We are. It's a blood sport. It's going to be great. I've already got the Lord of What's in face.
Gah! A golden eagle swoops in and picks up one of the dogs and flies off with the dog.
Quick, Jerry. Get on the bikes, let's go!
Fucking dog, get on it!
Ching, 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 ching. They cycle off down the road.
Then we cut to the posh guy walking home to his wife with a baby golden eagle.
Felicity, darling.
Yes, darling.
Well, look, haven't I got a treat for us?
Oh. Ew.
You know how you've always told me you feel like a bird in a cage?
Yes, darling.
It has in this big old house with nothing to do.
Yes, darling.
Well, guess what? Now you're not alone. Here is a literal bird in a cage. A symbol of your endless pain.
Oh, wonderful.
Do you like it, darling?
Yes.
Do you know what I'm going to do with this?
I think I can possibly guess.
I'm going to use it to maim foxes.
Yes, I thought you might.
Isn't that wonderful, dear?
Yes, dear.
And we look around the house and there's like fox hides on the wall and like his wife has been like clad in fox fur. There's way too many clothes to be wearing around the house.
I do need a new pair of fox slippers, I suppose. And we could do with a new lampshade.
You seem to sound a little sarcastic. Are we going to have this conversation again, darling? I'm a fox hunting man, and my woman shall do as his man. Her man.
Yes, I know, dear, and I do support you. But Verity next door, they've had a rhino rug recently. So I'm quite, I do think we do need to be keeping up with them. Foxes are so yesteryear.
Jerry, get the sat-nav going. Can you see the eagle up there? Follow the Terry. Follow it, Terry.
Still carrying that dog.
Drive faster.
Where's he going?
He's going to that big posh house on the hill up there.
I wonder whose house that is.
Oh, it's a big posh house.
We better put our masks on.
Looks like
there's another break in, Milton.
Oh, look, that eagle's roosted on top of that house. Let's go up there and get our dog back.
Deposited the dog down the chimney chute.
Go on, let's go up and see what's going on.
Look, there's a hand has come up the top of the chimney with some bird food in it, and the bird's eating its reward. Look at that.
And the eagle's flying off again. Where's it going?
What is this set up?
Oh, it's coming back with another one of our dogs,
Jerry.
Oh, blimey.
All right, let's get in.
It's a scam, dear.
How should we get in? From the basement?
Yeah, there's a coal chute round the back. There we go.
They go in, they break in through the basement window, they climb down into the basement. And they see a dark figure across the room who's doing something. Across the room. What's that, Milton? 6 o'clock.
I don't know. He looks like an abominable snowman or something. It's a hairy person. They're covered. Oh, no. She's just wearing a lot of fur.
What's that? Who's there? Who are you?
Excuse me, ma'am. We believe you have stolen our two dogs.
Look. Another one's just coming down the chimney.
Three dogs!
They're not your dogs. They're my dogs.
What?
They're my dogs.
Who gives you the right?
Because all dogs are my dogs. All dogs are my dogs. All dogs belong to me.
What?
Yeah.
You're the mythical dog person.
Yes. Yes, I am.
The mythical dog person of Chestershire.
Yeah. Where do you think I got this beard from? It's amazing.
Is it dog fur?
Yes, it's dog fur. Yes.
What are you doing down in the basement here? This house is a big house. This is where that toffee-nosed bloke lives, isn't it?
I know. Well, he's been trying to use my dogs.
For fox hunting.
But they're our dogs. Now he gave... Oh, another one's just come down the chimney.
He gave us those dogs. In return for eagles.
What a bastard.
But you've got eagles that are stealing our dogs.
So...
What's... My head is really confused.
No, wait. The eagles is... We got to go upstairs into the house and get the eagle, get the dogs and get out of here.
I've never been upstairs.
Well, we're going up there. Move it, lady. Shoves her over and they go up the stairs. Listen here, you toff. You posh bastard. You dog stealing.
Hello? Is somebody there?
Huh. Listen here, lady.
It's his missus. It's his missus.
Oh. Who are you?
We're the rightful owners of those 11 dogs.
Oh. Oh.
Those hounds you got in the basement.
Where's your husband? He's tried to scam us. We know he's here. He's trying to get away with being on the wrong side of the right side when he should be doing the right thing by us.
Meanwhile, he's escaping through a hatch on the roof and he's like climbed up into the attic, climbed out onto the roof, and he's gathered around all his eagles around him. My pretties, fly me away. It's time to make an escape, my pretties. And the eagles all cling onto his coat hanger that's in his coat. That's why it's there. They grab onto it and they fly him across a field.
Darling.
Tally-ho!
Look at that, disappearing over the horizon there. It's... Oh.
And the dogs all turn on Kevin and Milton. Suddenly, they surround them with bloodlust in their eyes.
No, easy, boys.
Easy, lads. We're going to be good owners to you.
We're going to be good owners to you.
Yeah.
Oh, no. They're closing in.
Take Terry. I've got things to live for.
And scene. That was newsish. And that's how that works.
That was far more amusing than the actual story. Amazing.
What an asshole.
Yeah, absolutely.
Plonker, look how happy he is with his eagle.
But
what's confusing about it is that he says that he's hired to exterminate.
Yeah, I find that by who I want. I bet he...
And he doesn't get pleasure. He doesn't get pleasure from
bollocks.
I'm guessing farmers, maybe? Hire him?
If they've got a serious fox problem on their farm that they're trying to eradicate, then surely one eagle taking out one fox at a time is not the most efficient
well, that's the
way
nature,
to get
that's
about
the
it.
Nature of it is that an animal learns what areas are being protected by a predator and they avoid those areas. I think that's the idea. That's why we don't get pigeons in Trafalgar Square
anymore.
Well,
they use birds of prey for pigeons and stuff.
Yeah.
But I've never heard of them being used for foxes.
They're using them for pigeons now.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Trafalgar Square, you're not allowed to feed pigeons there anymore. They have a falconer who flies a falcon around that scares the pigeons away, which I think is like kind of... You know, it's obvious, it's been talked about, but the pigeons of Trafalgar Square was a classic.
I used to love it when I was a kid.
Those.
I used to go and feed them all the time.
You buy
it was
a bag
amazing.
Of seeds, yeah. Like in Mary Poppins. You put some seed on your arms and shoulders.
Yeah, you'd be wearing a coat of pigeons.
And they'd come and land on you.
Yeah.
And that's London.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And now they're like, no, it's unhygienic and it's... What's going on?
I know. I must admit, it's very sad.
I was at a medieval fair in Spain and there was a falconer there who was doing his falconry display, but the falcon flew off up onto a balcony where someone had their canary on a cage on the balcony and just tormented it, and the falcon was trying to get it back. So, they have a little bloodlust going on there too.
They have them, they're quite popular pets out in like Kuwait and in Saudi and stuff. Yeah. So you see people they have them on the backs of planes. They have the perches and they're all there kind of perched with the little hoods on the back of the plane.
On the outside of the plane?
No.
They're what keep the plane up.
That would be like
big spread their wings
Yeah,
up.
With the goggles. Amazing.
It's a brand new engine for the plane that I've designed. We're just going to put loads of pigeons on the wings, glue them to it.
That's how planes fly, right?
We cut to Sadiq Khan sitting in a room with a bunch of board members, his crew. So very good, everyone, with the falcons. We've gotten rid of the pigeons in Trafalgar Square, and now London is that much more hygienic.
Yes, it is.
It is much more hygienic, except for the large pile of pigeon corpses.
Of course, but that's out of sight and out of mind. Behind the...
We don't talk... Behind the lion... Yes.
Yeah, behind the third lion.
Yes.
And in a no one ever looks there.
No.
It's nice. It's convenient.
It's going, and we're going to use them all, stack them all on top of each other on the fourth plinth.
Yeah.
Shortly. So, yes. Shortly.
And call it art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Wonderful.
Very proud of you all for the putting these projects together. Very nice. So, the agenda on the agenda for today's meeting is, how can we take further steps to improve the hygiene of our fair city? Okay, I'll start with one. I want to get rid of all handles on the underground. Yeah? Get rid of all the poles, the handle
bits. People just can't touch anything.
Don't touch anything. You walk in, keep your hands to yourself. Don't touch anything. If you fall over, what we're going to do, we're going to make the floor of all the tubes rubber.
I can see no downside to this at all.
That's what I thought. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank
brilliant,
you, Miss Yesman.
So effectively trampolines as a floor on the tubes.
Yep,
so
you fall over.
So boing. It could just be, they won't be tube trains anymore, they'll be mobile bouncy castles.
That's a great name.
Yeah.
Mobile instead of an Oyster card.
And you just bounce around inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and instead of an Oyster card, you just take your shoes off. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about that?
Marvellous. Huh? Marvellous.
Take your shoes off. Yeah. Outside every station in London, line of shoes. You walk out a station, you find a shoe your size, stick it on.
We will also have to get rid of the barriers, though, so that people can't, you know, touch on with their cards, because they'll have to touch that. So they have to be free.
There's no barrier. You simply place your shoe in the slot.
So, and it would be a cost-efficient replacement for Boris's bikes.
Very good.
Yes. Brilliant.
Marvellous.
Yes, marvellous.
So I'm going to open the floor now to any further suggestions.
For making London much more hygienic. Well, I personally think we should get rid of all the water.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, there's that river that runs through it.
What do you mean?
It's just, water's not very good.
All of the water?
All the water, just get rid of the water.
Any communal water? Well, just all bottled?
Well, I think we should just all, you know, put it in yes, bottles or pipes and put it away.
So, how about this? We keep all the water in behind the second line.
That could work.
Yeah, we get the second line. There's fountains there anyway.
Oh, we can't have the fountains. Fountains are dreadfully unhygienic.
Oh, so those waters are going to...
Yes, no, all the water's going. Uh-huh. No more water, no more. We can just replace it with those lovely lamps, you know, with the plastic lamps which glow in different colours that look like fake waterfalls.
Oh, that's very clever.
Yes, we can have them. Yeah. People will think it's water.
Yeah, maybe so, fill the river bank, the river with potpourri.
With optical cables.
Potpourri, optical cables, lights...
It would make smell it amazing.
Yeah, it would be a sensational.
We'd finally have the river of fire that we were promised for the millennium.
Fantastic. I like that. Wonderful. I'll write that down. I'm writing it down right now. It's been written.
Oh, I can see you write. Oh, yes, but you're touching the pen again, aren't you?
Oh, dearie me.
Yes.
I'll just take a quick dip in the anti-back real quick.
Okay.
Just towel off here. Burn the towel.
Please put some clothes back on as
back
well.
Back to one. There we go.
I am proposing that we offer free nose jobs on the NHS so that we block people's nostrils to block out the smell. And then if nobody can smell anything, they won't notice just how much everything smells bad.
Now, that's very interesting. Is this a sort of rhinoplasty that will just basically close off the nostril?
Yes, exactly.
So it'll be like just a fleshy stump on the face.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yes. And so but we're kind of avoiding, I appreciate the efforts here, but we're kind of avoiding the problem rather than solving the hygiene. You're making us unaware of the bad hygiene,
it would increase hygiene that if everybody's nose was blocked up through rhinoplasty, through with super glue or plastic, whatever we're going to be using, they would be able to sneeze.
Yes.
Which would stop the spread of germs.
Exactly. Yes.
You've won me over. So, you know what? And that's great on the underground too.
You know, so people wouldn't be able to breathe on each other, smell each other, share germs.
How about
in any
this?
Way.
So as you're sneezing throughout the day, you're filling up your head space, essentially, with mucus and bacteria.
Yeah.
However, upon returning home from work, everyone shall be given from the government, care of the government, a mucus vessel. Which they empty the contents of their head into.
Like a catheter into your sinuses.
Yes, you go home, you plug in, you drain out, and every Thursday the council collects it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Genius. And what's more, it'd be great for the environment because no one will have to use deodorant anymore. So all those disposable deodorant bottles that everyone's out there, and the cans and the plastic and the shampoo and all that stuff can just go.
That's fantastic.
You know, and we can just all...
And the sack's mucus can be used as fertiliser.
And we could develop an app so that you can register the amount of mucus that you actually produce throughout the day so that you can record that.
Get VAT then, back.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Mucus sack VAT back.
Yes.
Love it. It's genius.
This is great, guys. Fantastic.
Mr. Mayor, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, 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 yes.
Your 4 o'clock appointment is here.
Oh. Do excuse me, ladies and gents of the board. I have to go meet my 4 o'clock, who is...
I think ahead.
It's my mother. I'm actually meeting my mother. Actually, about to disown her.
Oh.
Yes, because I kiss her every time I see her, you see.
Oh, and well, that's very unhygienic.
Yeah, you see? Yeah. Kiss on the cheek means ill for a week. You know, yes. That's one of my sayings.
Yes.
So
and your mother makes those rather deliciously spicy food, doesn't she?
Oh,
everybody knows makes you just leak the mucus.
And makes me require public toilets far more frequently.
And then you
which we are phasing out.
We are phasing out public toilets. We are phasing them out because we've discovered that the real estate that they're on is perfect for building up some luxury apartments.
Yeah, bungalows, yes. Apartments, basement villas. You know, I've got a villa right underneath Harrods.
Ah, wow. Mm.
So anyway, I'm going to go give my mother the final kiss I'll ever give her and never see her again. So if you will excuse me, but do feel free to continue the work and we'll reconvene in the end of the day.
Yes, you go and kiss your mother. You do that.
Thank you.
I think you should stand in the next election. Should we get rid of him then?
Okay, time for a quick break. time for a quick break. Let's take a break, shall we? And there it is. This is Buffalo Springfield with For What It's Worth. Someone else is using my Spotify at the moment. I'm going to take it back.
It's one of my favourite ever songs.
Hopefully they don't take it from me.
Love this
song. Something happening here.
Very apt.
We'll be back in 5.
But what it Stay alive. Is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to the Lil Show. Welcome on back to the Lil Show. Welcome on back to the Lil Show. Welcome on back to the Lil Show.
Lil Show.
Yeah, we're back. Yeah. We're back with me, your host Talal Karkouti, Alison Kent,
hello,
Jodie Ann Richardson.
Yeah, I've slipped into a nice sequin number for the second half.
Thank you. Costume changes always appreciated. Mm-hmm. Let's move swiftly on to a little thing called daddy issues.
Oh. Yeah, we've all got them.
She's crazy like a fool. What about daddy cool?
All right. It's time for daddy issues. We've all got them. You're absolutely right. Alison's got them. We know that.
Martin from Harrow.
It's a bit, yeah.
Martin from Harrow. Shout out. Martin from Harrow. Big up yourself. Look for him in the Metro.
Yes. Martin of the Metro.
So
he's going to get a following now.
Daddy Issues is the portion of the show where we listen to a pre-recorded interview with mine papa, Mr. Mustafa Karkouti. He's a journalist, a Syrian, a man with a moustache, a septuagenarian.
Has he always had a moustache?
Since my sister was born.
Was there something about giving birth to a sister that...
He just...
wanted my sister to know him as a moustache man.
Wow. And just a moustache? No beard?
No beard.
Just a tash?
Since the day...
Wow. Is your sister older or younger than you?
Since she was... She's the eldest, yeah. Since the day she was born, he's been growing a moustache.
I was like, hasn't. I'm a father now, I need
I
to.
I guess so, I don't know. No,
I need to express
we have a
my
cousin.
Roots.
We have a cousin who's slightly older than dad. Then my sister. And she was visiting while mum was pregnant. And, wow, why am I telling this story? And she was like, Uncle Mustafa, what would you look like with a moustache? And he goes, I don't know. And he goes, I would like to know. I would love to see you with the moustache. He goes, you know what? For you, Bisan, my love, I love you so much. I will grow a moustache. And then my sister was born. He had a moustache. He liked it. My sister would like grab at it. And he was like, you know what? I'm going to keep this thing. And he hasn't shaved it off since. And now, on the reverse side, his kids, for our whole life, have been asking him, what do you look like without a moustache? What would you look like without a moustache? He shows us pictures, but we're like, that's not you. That's a young, handsome man. We don't... That's not
so
you.
So your mother fell in love with a man without a moustache.
We want to know what you would look like without a moustache.
That's amazing.
I often, like, put my fingers, push his moustache up and cover it with my fingers to see what his upper lip would look like. We get a vague idea, but we never see the full picture.
Has he got a big bushy one, or is it just like a nice...
Oh, would you like to see a picture?
Oh, yeah. Yes,
okay. Please.
I'll simply Google his name. He's that famous.
Wow. He's that famous because of his moustache. Because you get those people who do the moustache competitions who have those huge handlebar things.
You get those new kind of steampunk hipsters as well with the really twirly ones.
Look at that.
So look at the smile on your face.
You Google Mustafa Karkuti and then click images, and then this is the set of images we get.
Oh, wow, he looks like Roger Moore.
Which one are you looking at? They're not all him.
The first one I saw was a load of men without moustaches, and I got really confused.
So from the top left is the first one, black and white picture of my dad.
Is that your dad?
That's his Golf News picture. He looks like Roger Moore.
He does from this distance, he does.
That's him, shaking hands with someone. Him and me.
The one on the end is Sean Connery.
That's him and me there.
You with dreads and sunglasses.
That's like McMasterson, I think. That's an American politician.
Yeah.
That's me with the glasses, yeah.
And Putin in the middle.
Where's Putin?
Putin's right in the middle with no moustache.
Putin there. Trump is there.
He doesn't have a tan.
Yeah.
These must be pictures from his articles, some of them. The ones that aren't him.
Okay.
That's amazing. It's not every man can pull off just a moustache.
He wants to describe the moustache because you've amped it up now. What does his moustache look like?
Oh,
it looks very dignified.
Uh huh.
Yet friendly and approachable. Oh no, it's lovely.
Wow.
it's
a big old sausage, isn't it?
It's a sunset moustache. It's the kind that, you know, it's that twilight kind of, you know, having a drink on the terrace moustache. It's lovely.
The angles are quite impressive. It's very well cared for.
Shall we dive into the interview?
I feel like I'm knowing your father more now.
Okay, let's
do this. I'm going to imagine the moustache movie.
Okay, this interview does get a little dark. Okay. My mum gets involved and it gets darker.
All right, okay.
So,
go, mum.
Strap yourselves in. Here we go. It's time for Daddy Issues. Take it away, me.
Thanks, me. I'm here with me and my wonderful father, Mustafa Karkuti. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, stop eating for a second. Put the bread down.
Okay, go ahead.
Stop moving furniture around. You can see I'm recording. Oh, sorry. Got carried away. All right, Dad, you remember how this works? I'm going to say a word, and you're going to say the first thing that comes to your head.
Yeah, make it fast, please. Yeah.
Oh, I've pissed you off now. I was joking, man.
Go ahead.
All right, here we go. Outlaw.
Murder.
My God. Outlaw. That's a good word, straight away. Murder, you say?
Yes, yeah.
Have you ever been involved in a murder?
No.
Have you ever had one in your neighbourhood growing up? Was there ever any murder mysteries? Crime stories from your town?
Oh, yeah, of course. There was one, and...
In the town of Latakia, yeah?
In the town of Latakia.
Northern Syria.
That's right. And as a result of that, well,
as a result of what?
In fact, I met at least a bunch of them when I was taken to prison.
Oh, yeah, you're in prison, yeah. We've talked about you being in prison before.
Yeah, but I met murderers there. somebody who murdered his wife because she had a lover. He was a bloody excellent handball player. It's a team I formed in the prison. And we competed against my high school at the time. And he was the main attacker in the team, forward.
I bet he was.
A fantastic. His name, Ibrahim. So anyhow...
Set this up. Wait, you went to prison?
Yeah.
In Latakia?
Yeah.
When you were a kid?
I was a kid, yeah. I was a high school student. 17 years old, maybe, yeah, something like that.
And you were in the same prison or the same room, the same cell as the murderer? Or?
Well, the first for about 5-6 days we were... because I had somebody else, my mate, but I was in a confinement sort of cell for 6 days. And then they moved us... On my own.
Uh-huh.
Then they moved me to what they call a hangar, a big, huge room with about 20, 22 long sentence people. So among them, there were about 2-3. We slept in the same damn room. Yes.
23 of you in one, sleeping in one room?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you each have a bed?
Not bed, sleeping on the floor on a mat, mattress.
My God.
Yeah, and sharing the same tank of water in the room. And also sharing another tank to wee and do whatever you want to do.
They didn't get mixed up, did they?
No, you don't. They are separated, in fact. Oof. One in a corner and the other one in the other corner. So.
Was it really smelly?
No, not necessarily. We made sure everybody inside that hangar that you don't do the big one. You limit yourself to a wee. And, of course, when they let you out, because, you see, the door is locked from outside. Nobody can get out.
Yeah.
So when they open the door about 6:30 in the morning, about 10 queues, because there were about 10 hangars, 10 queues are formulated straight away for people to go to the toilet. So, yeah, and there were a few toilets.
So
going back to your question, murderers, yes, I met them and I slept with them in bed. Well, not in bed. I mean, yeah, same.
And do you find a way to separate the crime to the person? Because you speak of this guy quite fondly with a warm heart, but he murdered his wife.
He murdered his wife because she had apparently two lovers, according to his story. And he was damn good, he said, sexually and physically. And I was wondering why.
But he was like, she shouldn't need another love.
Well, he chopped her up, anyway. He cut her off. Pieces, about 4 or 5 pieces. That's the story he told us. And when he told that story, he was laughing all the time. And he never regretted that. And by the way, 2 months later, he was hanged in the main square in Latakia.
Were you witness to that?
No.
Did you ever witness hangings?
No. Thank God for that.
What, you'd avoid them? My mum's putting her hand up. Mum, you witnessed a hanging?
Yes.
Come here to the microphone. What happened? Come here and tell me.
I was visiting my father in the prison where I lived to Mr. Jean. So he said he was so sad. He told me that there is a lady. He told us, me and my mother and my sisters, that there is a lady hanged this very early in the morning. So I sneak downstairs and I saw her with her lover hanging.
Both of them?
Both of them. And they waited for her until her baby, because she was pregnant from the other man. So they waited for her until she had her baby, and 40 days after that, they hanged her. This is the only experience.
The execution took place 4 days after delivery.
I was 6.
The what?
After delivery, the baby.
Yeah, I got that, Dad. Yeah, you don't need to translate for her.
Okay.
But then the baby just goes to adoption or to an orphanage.
With her family.
And why did you feel the urge to sneak off and witness this?
I was 7 years old. me and Hannah, my niece, we looked at each other, and then we knew what does she want. So we sneaked downstairs and look at this lady.
Why? What compelled you to do
that? Why not? It's
a child's curiosity.
Curiosity.
Did you regret it? Were you traumatized?
Not at all. I was looking at her, and they put a note on her body.
A note?
Yes.
Saying what?
Saying that she is...
Why she was hacked.
Do you remember why?
She had lover, and she was pregnant.
Shit! So she was cheating on her husband?
Mm-hmm.
So she was hanged for promiscuity?
Yeah.
Her and her lover?
No, I think she killed her husband with her lover.
Oh, okay.
Now I remember. Yes, she killed her...
This is so fucked up.
She killed her husband with her lover.
Oh, my God.
So both of them is hanged.
Were they holding hands? Did they kiss each other before? Before they fell?
Don't tell me before. I don't know. I saw them like this hanging.
My God. And you just sat there with a smile on your face.
Not
enjoying.
Smile, but I was frightened. But yeah, we know. We see.
So naughty. Full of mischief.
Until now, me and Hannah, we remember this minutes.
Hannah, your niece.
Yeah.
But she's your age. You've got a big family. It's confusing. But okay, wow. That was really, really dark. Thanks a lot, Mum and Dad.
Okay, what happened to you?
I cut myself shaving. Okay. But like on my forehead. Guys, thank you very much.
Okay. You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. Back to me in the studio. Bye.
Wow.
And that was Daddy Issues. Oh my god.
You weren't lying when you said it got dark.
Yeah, bro.
Goodness me.
Fuck me.
Wow.
Heavy shit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blimey.
Now we're talking. You know, okay, so my mum was 7. So we're talking like maybe mid to late 50s, okay?
Yeah.
When my mum witnessed that hanging. We were still hanging people in this country before you start thinking, oh, those savages.
Oh, no,
we were hanging people. It was 63 was we hanged our last person. That, 63, I think.
Woman.
In this country. Yeah, she was a woman. She's buried in... I know where she's
and
buried!
And again, it was a passion crime, wasn't it? Because she killed a lover.
That was a recurring theme there,
wasn't
it?
Yeah, they were all passion crimes.
Lovers, 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 murder, lovers, murder, murder, lovers, lovers, murder.
He killed his wife because he should have been good enough for her in bed, but she
needed
another lover.
I'm excellent in bed. She doesn't need to cheat on me. I'm excellent.
Oh, well, darling, I think you need to read the manuals a few more times.
Just because you get off, mate, doesn't mean you're excellent. It's quite easy to get a man off.
I'm not feeling it. I need you to make me feel it more.
As if that's the crux of a relationship. I'm good in bed. Why should you?
Wow.
Fuck me. Yeah, really heavy. I was going through a lot listening to that. It was as if I'd listening to for the first time, because I think when I was in the moment, I was a bit in shock listening to all of that.
Yeah.
That was the first time you'd heard those stories.
I've heard my dad's stories, but they never... No, I've not heard my mum witness that hanging. I know that they've witnessed hangings.
Mm.
Yeah.
I thought my dad had, and it turned out he hadn't. By the way, very quick side note, my dad texted me twice during that interview.
All right.
I always read out his texts when he texts in. So his first text was at the very beginning of that tape. He said, Talal, you are talking a lot about my moustache. It is... Talal, this is the whole text. Talal, you are talking a lot about my moustache. It is ticklish. All one sentence. And then later on, he texted me, explain please that your grandfather was political prisoner and so was I. They're not fucking criminals, my dad. My grandfather,
criminals.
My dad was a political prisoner. My grandfather was a political prisoner.
Which still happens.
What
now
I want to know
Syria.
Is when they went and competed against the high school, did they beat them?
Oh, mate, did they beat them? Dad,
oh,
I want to know.
Text
okay,
him.
Dad, you're listening.
Let us
know. You're
so
listening.
You've got the prisoners versus the high school, and it's your old team. It would be the opportunity to take out those bullies and those horrible people that were mean to you in maths class.
I want
to. You can bring them down on the court.
That's a
I'm
new.
I'm going to get you. I'm going to commit a crime, go to jail, so that I can get on the prison team, who are so much better. We're going to come to the school and we're going to take you down. And
this is ultimate High
revenge.
School Musical 4. This
yeah,
is coming
high
out.
School
so,
school
yeah,
four.
It's going to be amazing.
I do want to write a movie about
yeah,
this, by the way.
New
because,
the
you know, we've all
court.
Seen The Longest Yard, you know, where they start and Mean Machine. They start
mean
a football
Machine
team
is amazing.
Against the prison guards.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Where they sit in the prison of war camp and they have the football against the Nazis.
The Germans,
and,
yeah.
And they don't break out. They've got the chance to escape, but they don't because they've got to go and play the football.
And we talked about on the previous shows about my dad's handball career. He went to the Olympics playing handball.
Not on the prison team.
Oh,
not
wow.
Not with the prison team, but in prison he was asked to form, because he was a star player, he was asked to form a handball team to give the prisoners something to do.
Is handball like volleyball? Because when you use your hands in volleyball,
it's
right?
More like, it's more like indoor football. It's like five-a-side football,
you
hold the ball.
Haven't you got the four squares?
And
you
you've got
I
two
literally
goals.
Have no idea what you mean.
You've got two goals.
Yeah.
And every three steps, you have to bounce the ball once.
Okay,
so you can't just
like
run.
Like basketball?
No, but you're holding the ball. Basketball, you have to dribble.
Okay.
Okay, but every three steps, you have to bounce the ball once.
Okay.
And catch it, or pass it.
Okay.
And you just
like
try
netball?
It's kind of a hybrid netball,
basketball,
amazing.
Football, basketball.
And dodgeball, all mixed in together.
It sounds hideous.
Horrible. Sure.
Far too scary.
I've gotten more texts from my dad.
Oh,
yay. Who won?
Yay.
Dad, that's not, you're not answering the question. His dad said, beaten on the soles of my feet for two nights. Yeah, he was tortured in prison. Yeah, Dad, stop making a victim out yourself.
Was that because they didn't win the handball?
No, it wasn't. That was part of his 6 days in solitary confinement, was some torturing involved because he was a political prisoner.
Yeah.
Trying to find out if he has any affiliations or associations with any more criminals. But Dad, no, stop texting me about your torture. No, stop making yourself a victim, pups. You're fine. You have a family. You're a successful man. You're retired.
You're
you've
in
had a
clearly
long
in possession
life.
Of a smartphone.
You have a smartphone. Stop it. No one feels sorry for you. Just tell us who won the game between your prison team and the handball high school team.
Yeah.
Tell us that, Dad, please. Okay? Next text I see from you has to be relevant. Otherwise, I'm
amazing.
Not reading it.
Oh,
yeah. Not straight away.
Okay, and the lovers being hanged with the note, and my mum being 7 and sneaking off with her niece to go watch her hanging while visiting her dad in prison.
I think that they snuck off to visit the father and the hanging had just happened. I don't think that they went to the hanging and happened to be visiting the
father. They were visiting the father.
Yes,
and they
and
heard
hanging.
That the hanging was happening, so they snuck off to view the hanging.
Yeah.
And what do you think... So a young Syrian girl, 7 years old, witnesses a woman being hanged for not being satisfied, finding a lover, murdering her husband.
No, the woman that was hanged had found her husband. Oh, no.
No, the woman who was hanged murdered her husband with her lover.
I took that quite literally, like she used her
so
lover
like,
as some kind
her
of like...
as a weapon.
Yeah, as a weapon.
But what kind of psychological effect would that have on a young woman? To see something like that, do you
it's
think?
True, but it also sounds like a soap opera, as well. It's the whole melodrama of it. There is something kind of weirdly romantic. I think if she, my
it's
Greek,
romantic,
yeah.
as well. Clytemnestra,
and my mum's a big fan of soap operas.
Well, that's possibly why.
But you never get to see that ending, you know, in a soap opera.
Yeah,
but she's seen it firsthand. But what do you think that does to a woman growing up? Knowing that being in her memory and her mind,
you probably would keep your legs crossed for a start. I would imagine.
I think that's what the government wants you to do by doing it. That's the whole point of the indoctrination is that you're not. But the humble lover as well. So for the
I'm quite pleased by that.
It was both of them. Dad's got back to us.
The prison team won.
Yay!
Prisoners.
Go murderers!
No, there was one murderer.
Oh, no.
Only one.
There were multiple murderers.
Yeah, there were multiple. But there was only
that's
one on the handball team.
There was a bunch of murderers.
But there was only one on the handball team.
No, he never specified that. He only talked about one.
Who was the star of the handball team? Because he was very good on the handball.
He was the star player on the handball team.
He was the star handball. He was the main attacker. Because everybody else got out of his way. Everyone got out of his way. Coming through with the ball. Stand back, stand back.
And my mum made a joke in Arabic during that tape. She said a thing in Arabic. She said, look at us. We're a family of prisoners. That was the joke. So all of that. Let's see a scene, ladies.
Oh.
Come on, we're not that long left.
Can you move over? It's my turn with the bucket.
Oh, yeah, but you just slopped down a minute ago. Come on.
You know, it's my turn with the bucket. I'll tell you. I've just got to get... I'm trying to lose weight for the team. I'm trying to get into form for the team. I'm like star player. I need to be fast. I need to be agile. I need to be live. I need the bucket.
All right, have the bucket. Have the fucking bucket. All right, I don't fancy our chances anyway. I don't know. We're the underdogs.
All right,
who
put this in here? No, you're not meant to put this in this bucket. Who put this in? It was you, wasn't it?
Sorry, I needed to take a shit.
Oh.
What are you going to fucking do about it? Do you want me to play tomorrow or not? You know I'm the best fucking player we have. I'm the best mini golf putter we have. So you going to let me take a shit in the communal bucket or what?
Yes, you can. You can do what you want, sir.
Thank you.
Put him down. Put him down. Go on, put him down.
And that's right, Mary. All call me sir.
I'm not going to put him down. Thank you very much. He can have a shit in the bucket if he wants.
My tits doesn't stop me from being a sir, does it, girls?
No, sir.
Right,
no, it doesn't,
all right.
Sir.
Well, when we're on the green tomorrow, you better get at least two holes in one. Two holes in one.
Are you threatening
me?
Yeah. Are you threatening me?
Yeah, yeah. Or you are off the team. And we're taking...
Kapow!
You
like that, though, don't you? You like that, Sarah, don't you?
All right. Now,
you come back to my mattress when you're done with the bucket, okay? I've got a little treat for you, Sarah.
I'm just going to
And
go
don't
get...
wipe that blood off. Clip, clop, clip, clop, clip, clop.
And here we are, ladies and gentlemen. It's a very exciting prison match today. We have got the prison putting green extravaganza. Today, people are lining up. We've got the prison team on one side and we've got the school children on the other side. It is something that you would not believe. And they're lining up because what we have got 12 holes. And the prisoners are going up first and they've got the first hole. Let's cut now to the roadside. Let's see what's happening on the prison team at the green.
Here, star player Felicity Kendall steps up. She, of course, is in prison for murdering her husband.
I do like the way she's swaying her hips there, Tim.
Isn't it?
I think that's in a remarkable
It's very professional.
Way.
You'd expect that from a pro golfer.
You would expect that. Oh, she's drawing back her club and...
In it goes, in one. Very good. One shot for Felicity Kendall.
And yes, ladies and gentlemen, yes, they do. The prison team have got it in one. They've got it in one. Let's cut to the right. Let's cut to the green side and hear from the school children. They're up.
I don't. Which end of the club do I use again, sir?
Little Timmy steps up and instantly urinates in his trousers. He's utterly petrified. Not only is he on national television, but he's standing next to a serial murderer.
Timmy, what you need to do is you need to imagine that the ball is Mr. Wilson's balls. Because you know how he's really mean to you and that.
Okay.
He's getting coaching there. Little Timmy's getting coaching.
Just go up there and just hit it. Just hit it, Timmy. Hit it.
Oh, there it is. It's gone off the course there. Roll down the street.
And yes, ladies and gentlemen, there's the school children. They've got a penalty on them. They've got a penalty on green one. So the prisoners are ahead by one. And moving ahead.
We fast forward a couple hours.
And here we are, the last green. And we are neck and neck. Here. And the prisoners are coming up first. And there's the school children up first. Who's going to get there?
I'm up. All right. I'm going to do this. All right.
So Pippa. Pippa steps up. The school child, who's got a suspicious beard, is stepping up to the plate.
All right, give me my four iron.
So a beard plus a skirt and checkered shirt is a strange look, but this school child is going to give it to her all.
Right, I'm going to get an albatross with this one.
She chips the ball. It flies right over the mini cottage. It bumps off the clown's
oversized trousers and slides through the windmill and down into the gorilla's mouth. And there it is in one.
Get in.
Did you see that?
She got a hole in one. You got to get up there. You got to prove it now.
This is my moment.
Oh, your head's going in that bucket.
This
tonight.
Is what that shit last night was all about. This is what my poop was all about.
You've got to get that hole in one right now. Take those school kids out. We cannot be humiliated by school children.
See what you've got. What do you call me, ladies? What do you call me?
Sir.
Thank you very much. All right, here we go.
Prove your worth it. And he's lining up to the golfing green. He's put his ball on the tee. Jeez, lovely, lovely swaying of the hips there. I do say those prison uniforms are very flattering. Oh, they're so flattering. I believe they were designed by... Oh, she struck the ball. She struck the ball.
Oh, dear.
Well, it was a hole in one, but it wasn't quite the hole we were looking for.
Medic. Medic. Medic.
Ladies and gentlemen, that brings the end of this prison.
Yeah, somehow the ball has made its way back to the participant and worked its way up her rectal canal. Unheard of things here on the mini golf course. Unprecedented.
We're going to bring the game into complete distribution.
What's this?
I told you we should never let school children on the green.
What's this?
So my small childish hands will be able to reach up and pull it out. It's okay.
There we have unprecedented scenes here on the golf course. A school child is reaching up into a prisoner's anus, pulling the ball out. And what's she going to do with it? What's she doing with it? She's lobbed it over the gorilla straight into the hole. Oh my
and
goodness!
And the crowd goes wild. There's a mess of way, rip around, and the school children are triumphant.
Look at this! The school children have cooperated with the prisoners for a mutual victory, and it's unheard of. The two teams coming together, lifting each other up, and what's this? The prisoners are going onto the school bus. This isn't making sense. They've taken down the armed guards.
Is this a prison break? Is this a prison break?
They've taken down the armed guards. They have all the guns.
They have all the guns. They have all the children. They're driving away.
They're driving away with the children and the guns and the golf money.
And the windmill and the gorilla.
And the gorilla. And there they are, off into the horizon. Well, what do you think of that, Sandra, of that fantastic array of golf there?
I think that was the best game I've ever watched.
Truly.
Absolutely splendiferous.
Here we have Tiger Woods, ready to give a speech to commence the end of this one-off event.
That was amazing. I thought the...
Yes, Tiger, yes? Yeah. Yes, what did you think?
I thought that was genius golfing.
I think those children are going to go down in the history books and the prisoners as well. And we've just heard news. We've just heard news that they've driven straight to the airport and they're on an aeroplane and they're out of here.
They're flying to Syria to join the fight. No. All right, that scene does that issues.
Thank you, Dad. We love daddy issues.
Wow. Well, ladies, that's been a lot of fun. It's been absolute pleasure having you on the show.
Tiger Woods.
Good now is our time to get any plugs out you want. If you want to promote anything, I know that you do a monthly show called the Never Mind the News Feed.
Yeah, Never Mind the News Feed, the first Saturday of every month at the Trinity Bar in Harrow.
Harrow's place to be.
Yeah. It is. Come down and give my dad some news stories to write in the Metro about. Brilliant. Yes. Marvellous. It's
does your dad go?
No, I won't let him. Oh. I know.
Because he might write something about it.
Exactly. Yeah. Give me a bad review. So no. But yeah, it's 8 till 10 and it's free. So yeah, that would be amazing.
Very good.
Fantastic. It's fun.
I'm going to come down one day.
Yeah, that would be amazing. It's a mix of stuff. There's improv and we have poetry and we have music and we play silly made up games and you get prizes and
why don't we do a segment of news-ish one day?
Oh, that would be amazing.
Show.
Yes, please. That would be fantastic.
And we'll do a little recording and I'll put it out on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah, that would be amazing.
That'd be fun. We'll use whichever improv guests you have that day. Cool. They can just come and do a quick panel with me.
Yeah,
that would be fun.
That would be
it?
Amazing. That would be great. Yeah.
I'd love
and
to do that.
And it's worth coming also because the Trinity Bar always has the most amazing decorations up.
It does.
The venue is brilliant. It's a lovely venue to be in. It's a fantastic space.
Harrow was a place that I spent a lot of time in during my teenage years when I used to play rugby.
On the hill? Oh, okay.
We'd go and play against.
What
we'd
was
go
your
do
position
rugby
in rugby?
Oh, you'll never believe it.
Your wing attack? That's like netball.
I was a front row prop.
Oh, is that? See,
that's where you stick your head up other people's bums.
I know about
the
not
much
the bums.
About...
No, we were front row, so we'd lock heads.
Oh, you had people.
We'd lock heads with the other team.
Oh, so you were doing the shoulder.
But it's, traditionally, the front row of the scrum is big fat guys, and I used to be a big fat guy. And the other front row prop was called Steamroller, and I was called Pumbaa. We were Pumbaa and Steamroller, and we used to be really overweight, and we would take down anyone in our way.
Blimey.
And then I started to lose weight, and then I started getting hurt, and that's when I stopped playing rugby.
Oh. Do you miss it?
I do. I like rolling around in dirt with men. So, Jodie-Anne, have you got any plugs?
Yes, tomorrow night, Never Mind the Newsfeed, my Derek's Mojo, which is Monica, my
This podcast's not going to be out for a few weeks.
Okay. Derek's Mojo, we've got a number of gigs coming up between now and June in Waterloo and Harrow and
have you an online
Rosemary
presence?
Rutch. We have an online presence. Look us up on Twitter. We've got Twitter for @DerricksMojo, our website, derricksmojo.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on YouTube. We've got avatars on YouTube that get up to all kinds of crazy adventures.
Excellent.
So just look us up. We're everywhere.
Derricks Mojo. Alison, online presence?
I just have a Facebook page because I'm really bad at tech stuff. But yes, Never Mind the News Feed is on Facebook. So please find us on there.
Please.
Yes. And I will be sharing my dad's various updates.
Please.
Yes.
You should have a Twitter account for your dad's Metro letters and just post his letters up there. And I would like to just direct you towards thelilshow.com, @thelilshow on Twitter. If you want to follow me personally, I'm Talal Karkouti on Facebook. I've been uploading a song every day. I'm up to song 22. I'm trying to do 30 songs. I'm writing little comedy songs every day. And it's not actually every day, but I'm trying to do them as quick as possible. 30 songs in as many days as few days as possible. So find me on Facebook. My name's in the description of the podcast. Otherwise, Talalaban on Twitter and Instagram. I am Talalaban. You can find all my songs on Instagram as well. I love you. Let's say goodbye, shall we? Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye. Goodbye. And special shout out to your dad. I feel like he's been the fourth member of the team here. And your mum.
Yes.
Like, other members of the team.
I really love you, mum and dad. I really love them. And
Kilburn, brilliant.
It's been so much fun.
It's fabulous.
Oh, the hiccups are back. All right, Alison's hiccups are back. That's the cue for us to leave. That's us. Thank you for listening. Lil Show out. Peace. Hey. Now you swear and kick in Vegas that you're not a
You're listening to
K2K Radio.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.